Hey friends, welcome to the Rising Above Ministries podcast, where we share stories of hope, inspiration, and encouragement from special needs families from around the world. I'm your host, Becky Davidson, and I am so glad that you are joining us for this week's episode. And today I am joined by Brett Welshmer, who serves at Johnny and Friends, helping churches know how to love and serve special needs families. Now, if you are not familiar with all that Johnny and Friends does for the special needs community, be sure to check out their website to learn more. You will be blown away with all that they do. And we will include a link in the show notes to their website. I had such a great conversation with Brett, and he shared with us a little bit about his life as a sibling to a sister with special needs and the ways that churches can come alongside to love and serve families impacted by disability. You know, at Rising Above, we also love to come alongside special needs families and provide resources for the families and also for churches as they are looking for ways to serve special needs families. Some of those resources include our small group curriculum that has been written by our team at Rising Above to address the unique needs of parents raising a child with special needs. You know, we cover topics like what if, where we address some of the fears and worries that special needs families often face. Also, flip side, which happens to be one of my most favorite ones, which is where we learn to see the flip side and focus on the positive aspects of the special needs life. You know, there are so many things that are hard and that are negative. And if we focus on those things, we are going to just be down and it's going to be such a hard life. But when we can learn to see the flip side, we have joy and we have peace. And so that one is one of my most favorite ones that we have. And we have so many others available now on our website. And so I just encourage you, take some time, go check them out. These are studies that you can do on your own. You can do them with a small group of friends, or churches can use the curriculum for the families that they serve who are impacted by disability. So be sure to check them out. And our free resource this month happens to be our latest study that we have called There Is No Yet, which is geared to married couples and addresses the unique challenges that couples face while raising a child with special needs. And you can find this free resource on our resource page on our website, or on our app that's available through the App Store or through Google Play. So check that out. We'll also provide links in the show notes. Now, one more thing before we get started with this week's episode. We would love for you to help us help more families find this podcast. We believe that this is a great, encouraging resource for families who are raising children with special needs. And one of the ways you can help us in this is by leaving us a rating or review for the podcast. This helps more parents like you find our podcast, find this encouraging resource. So if you would take a minute to do that, we would be so grateful. Now, here is my conversation that I had with Brett Welshmer from Johnny and Friends. Brett, thank you so much for joining me today for the Rising Above podcast. We are honored that you would give up some time to spend with us so we can learn more about you and your role with our friends at Johnny and Friends. So thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. I've been looking forward to this time together. So thank you, Becky.
Thank you so much. Now, there, you know, we may have some listeners who are not familiar with Johnny and Friends. I've known about Johnny and Friends for so long, but we may have some people who are new to Johnny and Friends. So could you fill us in just a little bit about Johnny and Friends and the work that you all do with families impacted by disability?
Well, I would be happy to do that. Our founder, Johnny Erickson Tata, has been a quadriplegic for over 50 years. And when she struggled with God about how could this happen to me, she got a lot of national notoriety through the Barbara Walters show, her biography, the movie of her life. And people started writing her and saying, help, from a spiritual perspective, help me manage this. And then practical questions, how do I do this and how do I do that? So Johnny and Friends was birthed out of people writing letters to Johnny. And as we have grown and expanded, our heart is always first and foremost to communicate the gospel and then to mobilize the church globally to evangelize, disciple, and meet the needs of people living with disabilities. So what does that look like? You know, one of the programs we're really known for is Wheels for the World, where we distributed 200,000 wheelchairs in developing countries. And every time we deliver a chair, we share the gospel, we connect people with a Christ-honoring church in that part of the world, which is very exciting. We also do family retreats where it's family camp for a week where families come together, and it's just a great time of respite for parents, fun for the kids, whether there's a child with a disability or a typical sibling. But those have been great things. But then, you know, my passion is coming alongside the local church and helping them to understand how they can welcome, embrace, include families affected by disability. Mm-hmm. And that's really something we've focused on more than ever as we've come through COVID.
Mm, and we're going to talk more about that as we journey through this conversation. And so you've been with Johnny and Friends, what is it, about 7 years? Is that right?
7 years, yes. I came on board originally to manage our response department, where we get about 1,000 people that contact us a month asking questions about disability.
Wow. Wow.
And our part is to, you know, give them truth from God's word, share perspective that's going to help them to find hope in hardship. So that's where I started.
And so, you know, I read from your bio that you grew up with a sibling, with a sister who had special needs. And so share a little bit about what that was like for you. And I'm sure that that played a role in you wanting to come to work with Johnny and Friends. So share a little bit about that story.
Well, sure. And it is, it's fun to look back over your life and see how God prepared you for
Absolutely.
The things he called you to do. So yeah, my sister, Tracy, she was born with a congenital heart condition. And at 7 months, she had her first heart surgery. She was 2.5 years younger than me. The doctors told my mom that she would be mentally retarded and that she would never walk. And my sister actually was a high school teacher.
With
great physical disabilities, for her to walk up a flight of stairs was a big deal. Mm. She had purple fingers that were clubbed. She had purple lips. So growing up as a family, she looked different.
Wow.
We were different, but we would have never called ourselves a family with disability. We just did life.
Right.
And you accommodate the way you need to accommodate. And my parents were awesome. It's like we had the twin bicycle in our neighborhood. Now, why would my parents get a twin bicycle? Because my sister could ride on the back and all the kids wanted to do that. We had the heated swimming pool in our backyard. Why did my parents do that? Because then all the kids would want to be at our house. So I never sensed it was any particular big deal, except, you know, she'd have a surgery here and she'd get really, really sick and we wonder if she's going to die. But it seemed normal to me.
Right. It was your normal. That was your family's normal.
Absolutely was. And I look back and I go, wow, we were a family affected by disability.
And you didn't realize it at the time, but then how that, you know, then I'm sure that that had an impact on you then when you heard about Johnny and Friends wanting to go help families.
Truly. And I think, you know, as you become an adult and you're raising your own kids and you look back, what was that like for us as a family? What was that like for me as a sibling? And that compassion to embrace and love people that are different than you, right? Most of us are most comfortable people that look like us, talk like us, and act like us. And when we meet someone with a disability, that isn't always the case. So we get uncomfortable.
Right.
Well, for me, I didn't get uncomfortable because people have been staring at us for my whole life.
Yeah. And so in your role at Johnny and Friends, your focus is on training and equipping churches to come alongside families like mine, who are impacted by disability. So what was your, did your sister's disability impact your family's church story when you were growing up?
Well, what's interesting is I come from an unchurched family.
Okay.
And yet both my sister and I came to Christ through the influence of others in our life.
Wow.
So we were the anomaly. But I watched my sister's faith as having a disability ask all those hard questions about why me and I'm different and this is hard. And when she would go through a major surgery, what that would mean to her. And watching her grapple with God's sovereignty and his goodness and his love, I know she was a tremendous testimony to the churches that we were involved mm-hmm. in our high school years and then into our adult life yeah. as well.
And to see the impact now that you can look back and see. It's so fascinating to me. I was talking with a group of moms this morning about that very thing, about how God prepares us and equips us early on for things that we had, you know, we had no clue that I had no clue I was going to be a mom to a child with profound special needs, but I can look back and see how he was preparing me and lining things up even years and years ago to equip me for what I'm called to do now. And so I'm sure in your life, you can look back and say the same thing.
Absolutely. One, being raised with a sibling with a disability. I served in pastoral ministry for 19 years. And though having been raised in a family, honestly, as a church leader, I never considered seriously the needs of families affected by disability. Mm. But then I worked for a season, I worked for a homeschool curriculum company. And that's where I met so many parents that were raising children affected by disability. And that's when I finally started to see the isolation, mm-hmm. the 24/7 caregiving, the cycle of grief that those parents were experiencing. And all of a sudden the lights went on. Mm-hmm. It's like, how did I get all these years down the road, even as a sibling, to not get it for the local church? Yeah. And when I got it, then I was all in. The first thing I did was start volunteering in the disability ministry of my church, even before I served with Johnny and friends. So we don't always get stuff when we think we wished we had, but God gets us there.
Absolutely. You know, I grew up going to church my whole life. My husband and I both, we if the doors were open, we were there. And, you know, then we have our son, John Alex, who has profound special needs. And in those early years, we were able to go and it not be an issue. But as he got older, you know, it became more and more challenging for us at church. We would take turns on Sunday mornings. He would sit in church one Sunday, then I would sit in church. You know, we take turns going back and forth.
Well, There's so many stories.
Well, then he goes on staff at the church. And so then it all went on me. But out of that grew the special needs ministry that is now fully functioning, you know, at our church. But in your work, what have you seen have been some of the barriers that families have faced in trying to find a church that's loving and accepting for their family and a place that a family feels welcome to come and be?
Honestly, the biggest barrier, and it's a kind of a strong word, but it's ignorance. Mm. We don't know what we don't know.
Right.
You know, so many church leaders are so busy running the church that they don't even realize that there's this community of people that are being neglected and that there are barriers. But I found with church leaders, when you actually start talking to them about what the physical barriers are, what the social barriers are, the lights come on and they go, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, how could I have been so unaware or ignorant? And it's, you know, it's not a sin to be ignorant. It's maybe a sin to stay ignorant.
Right. To not act on when you know better, to do better.
Right. And I think too, you know, our belief system about people with disabilities can really lead us astray. Mm-hmm. When you meet somebody in a wheelchair, what's your first thought? Oh, they have an intellectual disability too.
Exactly.
Oh, how ridiculous.
Yeah. And just looking at, you know, I think it's so, when you don't know better, you just don't know how to respond. But when you know better, when you know more, you need to do better. And so that's right. What I love about what you all do is try to help churches see the need. That was how it was for us. It was like they didn't know what to do. And so when we were able to step in and help, then they totally embraced it. And again, like you said, it's not, most of the time I see it's not a heart issue.
And it's a process. I really see churches go through this cultural change process. Mm-hmm. You start out, you don't know what you don't know in this stage of ignorance. And then you start evaluating your church and you recognize, oh, if this gentleman wants to go into the men's bathroom, his wheelchair doesn't fit. He can't stay for fellowship after church because he needs to go home to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Very simple thing. But when that child, you know, shows up at church who has autism and is nonverbal, is the children's ministry ready to welcome that child? And it's so easy to include them if you're just thoughtful. So then you have that evaluation. Mm-hmm. And then we know we start wanting to extend care. And then that's more of a us to them mentality, which isn't the picture of the body of Christ.
Exactly.
So once, you know, a lot of churches, we kind of get stuck on care.
Exactly.
But it's like, we need to get to friendship. Every person has worth and value and significance. I want to know them. I want to be their friend. Mm-hmm. Are people with disabilities visible in our church? Can we become friends with them? But ultimately, they have gifts and abilities we all need. So where do they find their place of contributing? Mm-hmm. And as you see churches move through this cultural process of change and watch the lights come on, it's so exciting.
So where are some areas that you've seen churches get that it's not, you're not providing babysitting, you're not providing childcare, but you're really bringing them into the whole church family experience? What are some examples of some churches who have made it a priority to find out what the giftings are for our friends with special needs and then find a spot for them to serve? You know, everybody wants to feel like they're a part, and serving is one of the biggest ways you feel like you're a part of something. So do you have any examples of churches who have really found a way to include the people in their church who have special needs in finding their giftings for where they can serve?
Well, you know, it's so important that we approach every relationship we have as a learner, right? Mm-hmm. Getting to know a person.
Absolutely.
So in our church, there's a young man, his name is Ben, and he's in his 30s, and he has an intellectual disability. And, you know, I found out that through his day program, he works at Burger King. His favorite thing, he works in the lobby. And as I started having coffee with him, because I wanted to get to know him and be his friend, one of his greatest passions is to encourage people.
Wow.
He loves to encourage people. And there's nothing that irritates him more is when people are unappreciative. Mm. And then, because he's such an encourager, so he doesn't get that. So he was serving in our specialized classroom at church, which was, you know, he liked being there. But when we actually talked to him about that idea of his gift of encouragement, he became a greeter at our church. And he lights up and lights up the people that he meets on Sunday morning in finding that. And it was the perfect fit for him because it met all of his passions and met an important need in our church and allowed the people in our church to know somebody with a disability that they might never have seen or spoken to before. So it was a win-win-win all the way around.
And isn't that a beautiful thing when everybody feels like they have a spot and a place and a way to serve? I love, we worked with a church in the Seattle area years ago, and in their special needs ministry, they had children with all different abilities. And so they would, in between services, the cards that were taken up, you know, where people would fill out their information cards, their job was to sort through all those and to take the things that were in the collection basket, not the money, but the different things that may be in the collection basket and prayer cards and things like that. And their job was to sort through those things. And it was something that everyone, regardless of what their level was, they were able to have some part in that. And so I think it's just getting a little creative too and thinking outside the box of the norm.
Exactly. And as you get to know people, if you know their passions, you know, you can't know what somebody's gifts and abilities are if you're not in community with them.
Absolutely.
We connect. Bryn, another young gal, has grown up in our church. She has Down syndrome. She loves to dance and she participates in our worship team for our elementary program. Now she's a high school student, so she's a young woman, but she lights up on that stage leading worship. So we use hand motions and dance moves when we do our worship. And that is a place where she loves to be. We're blessed to be able to have her lead us in worship.
We have the same thing at our church. Our friend Josie, her mom leads the kids worship, and the daughter Josie, who has Down syndrome, is up there right alongside leading worship. And it's beautiful. It's such a blessing to all of us to get to see that and see the joy that's in her heart as she's up helping to lead worship.
Absolutely.
And I think something that families, that churches sometimes overlook is that, you know, if you are not coming alongside and providing something for our friend with special needs, you're losing an entire family. You know, you're losing the mom, you're losing the dad, you're losing the siblings. Because if a family doesn't feel welcome to bring their child with special needs, the rest of the families, they typically are not going to come to church. And so what are some things that you at Johnny and Friends do to come alongside churches and families to help make a way for our families, for our population to feel welcome in churches?
Well, I think the most important thing is that we ask families what they need, that we ask families where.
Don't just assume. Yeah.
Don't assume. Yeah. I mean, you can build a whole disability ministry that nobody wants to come to because you didn't ask
what they need.
So when you sit down with a family as a whole and say, hey, what do you want for your child with special needs? But what do you want for your other siblings, your other children? Where do you want to serve? What would help you? Did you want to go to small group? Did you want to go to men's study? You know, what is it that you want to do? And you ask those questions and you come up with a plan for each family individually to make sure that they find their place. There's two moms that come to mind is that as their kids are served through our special needs ministry, the one mom, she teaches in children's ministry every single Sunday and at Awana on Wednesday nights, because we have a specialized Awana group on Wednesday night, and we have a place for her son on Sunday morning. Another mom has an amazing gift of leading worship, very gifted. Well, because her two girls, both with significant disabilities, have a place to be for two services on Sunday morning, she gets to be on the worship team. Mm-hmm. And I love to see parents released into their gifting because we're using our gifting to love their kids.
Exactly. And, you know, Jesus would never, you know, I've often thought our kids would be the one he would be running to, wanting to hang out with and wanting to love and serve. And so, you know, when we can do that as a church, And like you said, provide the opportunity for those parents to then serve and be a part of the church body. And it's such a gift that we all need to feel like we have a place to belong. And so I think when a church can grasp that, I think that was a real eye opener for me when I really realized it's like when you're not serving that individual with special needs, then that whole family gets left out. But when you can meet the needs. And again, don't assume, just go find out what that, it's just like with the school system, we do the IEP, you know, you look at it as an individual and to do the same thing with the family. So how do you all go about that? How do you recommend churches get that, learn more about a family?
Well, we, through our church training resources, we actually have a number of different surveys where it gives you the questions to ask a family. So when a new family comes, at the church that I serve in, I mean, all of our ushers and greeters know that when a family with special needs shows up and it's their first time, they know where to take them and who to introduce them to. So then what do? You sit down with that parent or that caregiver and you say, you know, ask all the questions to find out, be the learner. But the message is there is a place for your child, whether they're an adult or whether they're a child. Right now, we have something for you. And we want to send you to church right now.
Wow.
And we've had moms and dads, their eyes about pop out of their head is, no, we've got this. Go. And they're like, what?
We're not used to that. We're not used to having that happen. So, yeah.
So it's being prepared. No, getting the whole church prepared. You know, one of my favorite stories is John is an adult and he loves to come in late to church and greet people. So he's, you know, the pastor's up there giving announcements and he's walking down the aisle, shaking hands. He comes across the front of the auditorium going to meet his friends that he wants to sit with and reaches his hand up to greet the pastor who's giving the announcements.
Love it.
He says, good morning, John. And he just goes on like this was normal, right?
It is normal, isn't it? I mean, like for your church, that is normal. So
that's normal. And it's about everybody being on board and understanding everybody's welcome. Everybody's different. And we're okay with who you are.
Yeah, that is beautiful. And, you know, I think so often families, you know, we get burned sometimes and we have had church, I think, We've had church experiences that were not very positive. And, you know, I think sometimes parents may get in that mindset, well, I'm just done. I'm giving up, but they can't give up. You've got to keep trying. And it's becoming so much more now where churches are wanting to love and serve our families, where it used to not be the case. And I know that you all are playing a big role in that, just with awareness and letting people know it's not that hard to show kindness to someone with special needs.
And that's the bottom line. To me, it's normalizing disability, right?
Right.
It's normal. Everybody who comes in, and what I love about churches that get energized by welcoming families affected by disabilities, it broadens their view to all people.
Absolutely.
They're different. That church becomes better at welcoming the homeless person. Mm-hmm. As we embrace people of different abilities, we have more of God's heart to share the gospel with everybody.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, we've all been dealing with COVID-19 and restrictions, and, you know, that has impacted everyone, but it's also, you know, it's impacted our family. In the last year, we have not attended church live. We've been watching online. Mm-hmm. Have you seen some creative and unique ways that churches have come alongside the special needs communities, families impacted by disability during this crazy season that we've been in this past year?
So many creative things. It's been so exciting. Through our relationships with churches, through Johnny and friends, we have actually set up some of the programs. So specifically things you're talking about, drive-bys are one thing where they put together packages, care packages that would be, because they know the family and they take them to their house and they just drop it off. Mm. Or it's one of the kids' birthdays or one of the adults' birthdays. And we'll organize, other churches organize these drive-bys where 15 cars will come by the house and just waving through the window, screaming happy birthday. Mm. One of the guys at our church has an avocado farm. So we had Avocado Day, invited all our special needs families just to drive by the farm and pick up a bag of avocados. It was outside. He had animals, a kind of a little petting zoo gig. So it was an opportunity for families to come to social distance. One of the interesting programs Johnny and Friends is doing right now is we have an internship program with universities. We have a group of nursing students that are actually doing respite at home during COVID. So part of their nursing program is to go twice a week to a family, provide respite in home where mom may or dad may simply go to their bedroom or run to the grocery store or take a bath, but there's in-home respite taking place with all of, you know, the masks and the protocol,
right,
all of those kinds of
precautions.
Things. So those, a couple unique things, doing stuff on Zoom, that works too. Mm-hmm. You know, we've gathered our Awana kids together and done the Bible story right through Zoom. And then mom's taking a video and she sends us the video of their son doing the sign language of the Bible verse. And then we can share that with all the families and it encourages them. And we're still community.
Love it.
Even though it's COVID. So there's so many creative things.
So many things you can do and you don't have to let COVID shut you down and from loving and serving families. And one of the things you said, I wrote it down as you, right after you said it, but talking about, you know, the families, like you have to build those relationships with the family. So you then know, okay, well, my son's gluten-free, casein-free. So you're not going to bring him. If you were going to try to bless my family, you're not going to bring him something that he can't have, you know? And so, but that comes from building those relationships.
Yes. Yes.
With that family.
Ministry's relationship, right? Discipleship is relationship. And if you normalize disability, however you would bless anybody, it's the same principles.
Exactly.
You just have to be a learner and ask the questions.
And as from the parent side of it, we as parents have to be willing to let people into our life, because I think so often we get to where it's like we have our routine, we do things our certain way, and it's hard sometimes to let people in, but we will never be blessed by what our friends in church can bring to us if we set up those barriers from the parent side. And so I think it's got to be the church being willing to come and get to know a family, but for the family also to be willing to be vulnerable and let people into our to their world. I'll tell you, you know, I've had so many instances since I am a solo parent. I don't have family other than my in-laws who live here who are elderly, and they cannot help me with my son. I have to let people into my world and to help me. You know, that's just part of, I can't do it by myself. And so I've learned to be more open to let people in, but I know it's hard for some families, but it's the only way to build that trust.
And it's scary. And I understand that it's scary because you've been hurt before. You've been rejected regularly. Mm-hmm. People have been untrustworthy. And that's why we as the church need to be learners, and we need to ask. And then we need to trust that when you say this is what you need and how it needs to be done, we do it your way. It's not about us doing it our way. It's honoring what you need. And like you said, the 24/7 routine that you live as a single parent, you need the help.
Yeah.
Or else you're going to burn yourself out.
Right.
And so then we as the church, you know, in our church training resources, we have one of our training booklets is called Doing Life Together. And it's all about how to build like a small group or a support group around a family. You know, to set up that liaison that would be between you and this group of people that says, how can I help Becky? How can I help John, Alex in day-to-day life? Becky, what do you need? Do you need me to go to the grocery store? Do you need me to clean your toilet? Do you need me to be with John, Alex while you go to the women's Bible study? Mm-hmm. You need to ask the practical questions and then meet those needs. But if you use a team to do that, nobody burns out, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I think sometimes it's hard. Honestly, it's hard for special needs parents to even know what they need, as crazy as that sounds. But sometimes what has been such a blessing to me is when someone has said, hey, I'm bringing you dinner tonight. No questions. It's just like, hey, I'm going to drop dinner off. If you can't have it tonight, you can freeze it and have it later. You mm-hmm. know, and things like that, because sometimes, we're so tired and we can't even, when my husband passed away, I couldn't tell you if somebody had said, what do you need? I couldn't have told you what I needed at that moment. And so sometimes just once you kind of know that family, you can kind of do some of those secret things of blessing them without even particularly knowing exactly what to do sometimes. So
I love that. You have to take the initiative. You know, if you look at the yard and the grass is long, go mow it.
It's their yard cut. Exactly.
That's right. If the flower bed is blank, go plant some flowers.
Exactly. And a lot of times I've had a conversation recently with some other special needs moms, and it's like, we hate to ask for help. It's hard for us to ask for help. So finding the way to have that communication to where it's much easier for me to ask for help. I'm in a situation, I need to have help. So it's easier for me to go, hey, SOS right here. But for some families, it's really hard. But again, once you get to build that relationship with a family, then you instinctively kind of know what someone's going to need. So
it's a great explanation of what that really, really needs to look like. You know, Johnny Erickson Tata is one who requires a lot of care.
Yeah.
In literally every morning, two women come to her house and it takes 2 hours to get her ready as a quadriplegic. And her perspective from the truth of God's word is that we as believers need to serve others. Mm-hmm. And if we recognize this biblical truth, then we don't have to apologize for being served.
Right.
Because it's how the body of Christ was intended to be. So that comes back to what are we teaching at our churches, right? Mm-hmm. It's important to have a biblical worldview on suffering, on disability, on God's sovereignty, but mm-hmm. also even in this idea of how to accept service and how to serve.
Right.
So, you know, we have to, in a sense, grow up as Christians to say, I have needs and the body of Christ needs to serve me. That's how God designed it.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to work. So, you know, if there's somebody from a church who's listening to this podcast and they don't have anything going at their church, but they're looking at like, we want to love and serve special needs families. What would you say are that like the top three starting points? Where would you start? What are the top three things you could do today to even get the ball rolling to be more open and accepting to families who may want to come to your church who have a child with special needs?
Well, the first thing is to look at who's already there.
Yes.
There are people with disabilities in your church, whether you know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So put out the invitation to simply say to your church family, who in this church is affected by a visible or invisible disability, or someone you love and know is affected by a disability. Find out who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then go to those individuals, whether it's the person with a disability or the person that knows somebody with a disability, and again, start asking the questions. What do you need to be more a part of this church family? And ask the question, who is it that you want to invite to church that you haven't invited to church because of their disability? Ask them, what would it take for you to come to our church on Sunday? And, you know, sometimes we get so overwhelmed that we need the specialized classroom, we need the sensory room, and we need this. We don't.
Right.
We simply need to ask somebody, what do you need?
Yes.
You need that need. And then watch what happens next.
I love that. And it sounds so simple because it is, you know, it is that simple. But I want to flip it a little bit. So what if there's a parent, because most of the times it's parents who are listening to this,
mm-hmm.
they're in a situation where they have a church that maybe doesn't have a special needs ministry, maybe hasn't been as accepting to them. What do you recommend families do who maybe want to stay at their church home, but there's nothing in place? What would you recommend for them to do?
To have an honest, open conversation with the person that they trust most at the church, whether it's an elder or a Sunday school teacher or a children's ministry leader or an adult pastor, whoever that person is that you trust, and go to them and you say, you know what, I love this church and I want to grow in my relationship with this church. And these are the barriers that we have as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you want to go with a heart of kindness and gentleness. You know, having served as a pastor for 19 years, the person that comes in mad and hot is hard to serve.
Absolutely.
We need to, because they're hurting. They wouldn't be mad and hot if they weren't hurting.
Exactly.
But if as special needs families, we can go with a heart of love and understanding, and even as a learner, because there may be things we don't understand that we need to understand, but go have that honest conversation.
And then they can say, hey, Johnny and Friends has all these wonderful resources for you to
help. That's right. And we, you know, we have staff in 19 offices across the United States that when someone at that church wants to reach out to Johnny and Friends, we have people committed to coming alongside that church. And our heart in coming alongside a church is to say, we want to serve you to fulfill your mission as a church, as it includes people affected by disability. We're going to come with a servant's heart to help them be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have great free resources on our website, johnnyandfriends.org/church. Just johnnyandfriends.org/church. And you get all this stuff that's free.
It's amazing. And it'll walk people through how to get started. There's
exactly. Our first booklet is Start With Hello, and it's the 5 steps to starting disability ministry. And, you know, the questions that people are always asking is, one, how do I get started?
Mm-hmm.
How do I recruit volunteers?
Yes.
How do I get my leadership on board? How do I adapt curriculum? And how do I deal with behaviors that are challenging?
Mm-hmm.
And we have very practical free resources to answer those 5 important questions.
That's fabulous. And that's great to know. And I know that there are families and churches that are listening now who now can go, okay, there's no excuse. There's no excuse now. You've got the resources available. We at Rising Above have resources available.
Yes.
So no excuse. We're going to provide the resources that you need. God's already given you the heart. And so you have what you need to move forward. So
absolutely. Let us help. We want to help you at your ministry. I know you at your ministry want to help us. We can do this together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Brett, I thank you so much for having this conversation with me. It's something that's so important. Everyone needs to feel that they are loved and feel welcome in a church home. We are, you know, we need to have that body of Christ come alongside, and we need to have the opportunities to be able to serve as well. So I thank you for what you're doing to help bring families and the church together, so we can all do what God has called us to do. So thank you so much for having this conversation with me today.
Becky, it's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed every minute of it. I hope we can do something like this again.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Above Ministries podcast. If you like what you hear, please take a minute to leave us a rating and review. This helps others like you find our content more easily. You can learn more about how Rising Above Ministries is encouraging the special needs community by checking out our website at risingaboveministries.org or by finding us on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to connecting with you.